You are listening to another episode of Am I Overreacting with me, Amber Itzo, and she, Annabelle Gurnett. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hello, you all right?
Hello, yes, I'm all right. Are you? Is this where we pretend we've not been chatting for half an hour?
Yeah, like, oh my gosh, I haven't spoken to you in so long. Oh my gosh, tell me all about your holiday.
Oh, well, I mean, it was a dream. It was lovely, but I am exhausted.
Amber's just got back from a lovely, lovely holiday in Greece.
Yes, yeah, we went to Kos. I got back. We landed at midnight yesterday. It was 2 a.m. Greek time, but midnight here. So in my head, it was 2 a.m. I didn't sleep on the flight. We then went to a hotel in Gatwick because we thought the idea of like either of us driving home that night, which is horrific. Pardon me. So we, got a hotel. So we did sleep and then we got the train home. And then yesterday, basically, we had got, we had like an event on the Sunday before we left. We went on the Tuesday morning. We had the Small Business Awards on the Saturday. We had Joey's birthday party on the Sunday. And then the Monday was just packing. So I had a mound of washing to do before I left that I didn't do. The house was not cleaned. All of his gifts that he'd like been bought for his birthday were like in the living room, like not put in their home. And we were just like running around on the Monday trying to get everything packed, everything ready to go, plus occupy an infant. That my house was already a mess. So I came home yesterday to such a mess. I spent 4 hours just sorting out my living room and finding like homes for Joey's like toys and things like this. I then did 3 loads of washing yesterday and my basket is still overflowing. I've got another like at least 3 to get done today. So I felt like my head is, I need a holiday.
Yeah, it sounds it. It sounds it.
It's mental. But no, we had a really nice time. The weather was beautiful. It was like that perfect, like 26 degrees. So I have a minor tan, not much of one. But yeah, if I...
I wouldn't say you're... Okay, all right, yeah, you've got a tan line. You do have
Thank
a tan
you.
Line.
I've just taken off my Apple Watch and all you can see is like... Okay, yeah. I mean, it doesn't do it justice.
Feel like Apple Watch tan lines.
Oh, it was already there.
They're being absolute worst.
They're gross. They're so, so gross. In the evenings, I wouldn't wear my watch because I'd charge it. So I'd charge it while we were out and then swap over to my phone. And yeah, I honestly, it was like a photo would be taken and I'd be like, but you can't avoid it. I'm like, what do I do? Like, not wear my watch? Like, it's.
I mean, I think that's usually what most people do.
Well, yeah, I know. But like I say, I already had that. So I'm definitely exaggerating this tan line because there was already a tan line there before I went on holiday because I've been wearing it all summer. So it's a bit tricky because I'm like, well, what do I do? And like, if I bought it so that when I'm out walking the dog and things like that, I can like track how far I've walked and this, that, and the other. So I'm like, am I supposed to only wear it at night? What do I do? So yeah, it's so gross. It's disgusting. It looks horrible, but it's there. And I just think, do you know what? I wear my watch every day. Nobody's going to see it.
Well, that's, so, that's the thing. You'll be safe. You'll be fine.
It's not as bad as like, so I've got like really little, I was quite good with like pulling my straps down off my bikini, but you can see I've got like small tan lines there. But there were people that obviously like wear like full piece swim costumes or whatever and haven't pulled their straps down. Like normal people that don't just go on holiday to sunbathe, that actually go to have a good time. And yeah, and they have like these great big white marks like around their necks and this, that, and the other. And I just think, God, you can't wear anything.
Yeah.
You're going to go home and wear like a jumper and have like a white ring around your neck. Like,
yeah. I remember when we went to the Maldives, I had 2 bikinis that they were the exact same style, just in different colors. Because yeah. I was like, I can just alternate mainly between these two. Because then I'm always tanning the same areas and I'm not going to have like a weird like strap mark here and then a like band here. But it always used to make me laugh. At school, I never went skiing or anything. But after like the Easter holidays, when you'd go back to school and you'd look at certain people and they had the
goggle mark.
It was so bad.
Oh man, yeah. I remember actually being at when I was in secondary school, there was a lad who I was like quite good friends with at the time. And we'd always like, there was like a group of us that would always like play out, if you like, over the summer and like after school and this and the other. And I remember once it was like scorching hot, and he was like, there, you can't, you know, when like boys reach that age where they're suddenly like, they take their tops off all the time, like in the, you know, they've started like going to the gym, and they, well, not like quite going to the gym, but they play football and all the rest of it, and they're getting a little bit of pathetic muscle. So they're like, oh man, must take off top, like that kind of phase. And I wrote on his back, I'd like put sun cream on his back, but I wrote like I heart AB, which was my initials at the time, in his back, and it burns. So he had, that's really awful. That's such a horrible thing to do. But I was like 12, leave me alone. But yeah, so he had I heart AB like burnt in his back. So that was a fun tagline. I wonder if that still appears, you know, like in a window when it gets all steamy and something you've previously written and it appears.
All we get with that is just like folks nose.
Oh man, yeah, same.
Just little paw prints and nose.
Yeah, I follow somebody on Instagram who actually posted the other day about a penis that had been drawn in the on the glass of their wood burner.
Oh, their wood burner. Yeah,
I thought that was quite funny. But yeah, no, we had a good time. Although a highlight that I feel like I've already posted this on Instagram, but it just makes me laugh every time I think about it. So I'm going to share it again now. So on our way back, we went to the airport, obviously. And when we were there, you know, they ask you to declare whether you've got any like electrical items in your suitcase. And what they mean is like a tablet or a laptop or a phone. And I just went, no. And Marco stood there and he went, oh, he said, I've got my hair dryer, and I swear to God.
Oh, poor Mark. This
I have not I stopped do, thinking though. About it ever since. Like, I've honestly.
But I would be like, I've got to declare, they're asking me, I've got to tell them, because what if they do mean that?
Oh,
and then
God.
It goes through, and then they're like, we asked you about this and you said no, and then they arrest me because they think I'm trying to smuggle something.
She just kind of looked at him and was like, no, that's fine. But I've not been able to stop thinking about it ever since, and it just, every time I think about it, it just, oh, it makes me laugh so much.
You've got to watch out for those hair dryers.
Oh, goodness me. Those things are terrifying though, aren't they?
What?
Like, I see. Not hair dryers. No. They're like, when you're going on a flight, there's like a big list of everything that's in there, and you convince yourself that
somehow you've accidentally put like a machete.
Yeah. I did it once though. That was so bad. I remember being about 14, 15, and my dad surprised at my. So basically, we used to like every year we used to drive to France with my dad, and we'd stay there, and it'd all be in the car, and it would be fine. But one year, my dad surprised us, and we weren't going to France like we thought. We were actually going to Florida, which was amazing. But at the time, I was a chavvy teenager that smoked, and so I had packed in my suitcase like cigarettes and a lighter because I thought I was driving to France. And I remember standing there and my suitcase having gone in, and then seeing all the signs about how like lighters shouldn't be in your hold and things like this. Fucking shat myself the whole way to Florida. I thought I was gonna blow up the plane. It was fucking horrific. It was the most anxiety inducing experience of my life. And then I was like, the whole way through the customs, I was paranoid. Like, I remember as we were walking through, and there were people like getting their suitcases checked, and they do like random, well, I don't know if they still do, but they do like random spot checks as you go through into America. Honest to God, I've never been so scared in my entire life. I thought I was going to get arrested, and the plane was going to blow up, and all these awful things, because I'd packed a cigarette and a lighter at age 14. So don't smoke, kids. Terrifying, awful. But lo and behold, I didn't blow up the plane.
Yeah, I was about to say, surely like other people though, they do take lighters and stuff onto.
Yeah, but you've got to keep them on your person, not in the hold.
So
they can't be in the suitcase. And I imagine it's because, have you ever thrown a lighter? Again, shabby little me. If you throw a lighter and it breaks on the floor, it'll go. Used to be great as a kid. And so I imagine it's to do with that. I don't know, or if there's a leak or something like that. So really stupid and really irresponsible, and might edit this out of the podcast in case like the FBI come and get me for something I did 13 years ago. But it was an accident, all right? I thought I was going to France. I didn't know. And my dad didn't know I smoked. So if I'd have told him, I had to admit that I was smoking. And
no one could even comfort you.
No, I was just an anxious little man. Anxious little man.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I've got nothing to report.
Oh, okay.
Like, I've got nothing to report. Like, oh. I've done nothing interesting, I'm afraid.
Oh. All right. Well, as you were.
I was like just rattling through being like, have I done anything that's worth reporting on? No.
No, never. Never, never, never. Okay. Well, this week then, we're discussing the 12-week rule. The 12-week rule.
Did you wait? You didn't wait until 12 weeks, did you?
No, I waited 9.5.
Talk us through that.
Yeah, so the 12-week rule, for any listeners that don't know, is this kind of unwritten rule that you don't tell anyone that you're pregnant until you've had your 12-week scan. A, I think for your own peace of mind, but B, because there's kind of this almost like this unspoken thing where it's spoken about, but you know, where people basically say that the first 12 weeks are the riskiest in a pregnancy, and if you're going to lose a baby, you're most likely to lose them within those first 12 weeks. And so people quite often encourage you to keep it to yourself until you kind of reach that 12-week point. No, we didn't do it. So there was a few things for me. I wanted to, in all honesty. I found it harder to, because people knew that I had done IVF. So I was vlogging the entire process. It was delayed. And I had, like, so I was kind of the video was uploading like kind of 3 weeks after the event. So I think by the time my second vlog went live, I already knew the result. But I delayed everything there. So, and I had done it purposely, and I had planned the vlogs very kind of meticulously to make sure that the test result, whether that be positive or negative, like I'd planned it this way when we started treatment rather than because it was positive. But I'd planned it that way to give myself enough time to deal with the result so that I was in a place where I could talk about it a bit more openly, again, thinking it would be negative, but also kind of caveating that if it is positive, I can go to 12 weeks. And I think the reason I wanted to do that was because, like we spoke about before, like the anxieties that come with that, I was testing an awful lot. I was having a lot of private scans. And I just, you know, it gave us time, I think, to focus on it. But the reason I ended up doing it earlier was for a multitude of reasons. A, I think the 12-week rule is bollocks. I think if you want to stick to it, you stick to it. But if you don't want to stick to it, there shouldn't be any stigma attached to that, because at the end of the day, like, you are, if anything does happen, God forbid, you're going to need that support. So it's bizarre to me that you're supposed to keep that a secret. But we kind of had, we got to 9 weeks. We'd been discharged from our clinic. We'd had by this point I'd had two scans within the clinic and one privately. And then the day that they discharged us, we decided that we would announce. And yeah, for a multitude of reasons. First of all, for my anxiety, because it was, I have used Instagram as my, what's the word?
Outlet,
that's the word I was looking for. I was going to say Vice, and then I was like, nope, wrong one. Yeah, it's very much my outlet when it comes to, I mean, pretty much everything, to be honest, but specifically IVF and all the rest of it. And I think I was kind of in that limbo where I was struggling to know what to post about, because everybody knew I was doing IVF, so I found it really hard to carry on as normal. But I also really wanted to talk about the anxieties and really wanted to talk about how I was feeling and how difficult I was finding that first trimester. I was being sick all the time, I started being sick around the point that we announced, actually, so that's a lie. But there were certain things that I just wanted to talk about and I didn't know how to, and I couldn't because I hadn't announced. But secondly, people had obviously got an idea. People had obviously figured out that, you know, it was positive. I think some people really did think it was negative. But some people, you know, they're not stupid and realized that I'd have probably said something by now if it was negative. But I started getting a few like funny messages about it. And I think I remember saying before, there was one person who messaged me and I'd liked an influencer's reel about something to do with pregnancy. And I felt like I needed to caveat that there are certain people that I followed for a really, really long time, and I was still happy to follow them within their pregnancy journey. Like, that you know, I was very picky and choosy with who I followed, but I generally didn't really mute that many people unless I was in a bad place. And I'd innocently liked this person's reel. And somebody had sent me a message saying, your treatment's like obviously worked. If you want to keep it a secret and you're going to continue being so coy about it kind of thing, like you probably shouldn't be liking posts like this. And I was a bit like, fuck off. Like, that's not your... Hey, it's not your place to say that to me. Like, I'll like whatever the fuck I want to like on my Instagram. Like, leave me alone. I've been liking this person's stuff, whether, like, beforehand anyway. So that's a load of shit. But B, like, it's nobody... At the end of the day, I can document as much as I want about my IVF journey, but I don't feel like I have to... It's up to me whether, ultimately, whether I tell anybody if it's successful. Like, it's nobody's business. Obviously, I was going to. But yeah, so I kind of felt like my hand was forced a little bit. So in a roundabout way, in a very roundabout way, I did want to wait 12 weeks purely for the anxiety, but I kind of felt like it was better for me if I didn't. And so I waited as long as possible. And then when I was discharged from the clinic, I decided that that was when I was going to announce. And I did on Instagram and on Facebook. I know that a lot of people who have like CTC Instagrams that are perhaps smaller, private, they will do it to like the IVF community, and then they do like their own big announcement when they've reached the 12-week mark. But I do think with a dare I say a normal pregnancy, with a pregnancy that's not been conceived through treatment, you don't, unless you pay for a private scan, you don't get any scans, you don't get any confirmation that anything is okay until that 12-week mark. So I do kind of understand why people choose to. Like I say, I think if you want to tell people, by all means do, but not everybody can afford a private scan. And I think some people do perhaps want to wait to find out everything is okay before announcing it, because it is, as much as you perhaps want to, and I feel like I don't know, because like I say, neat that I've never been in this situation, but I feel like I would find it harder to tell everybody I was pregnant and then tell them I had a loss than just tell everybody I had a loss. So I feel like that would be my personal stance, but again, I don't think there should be a rule and everybody can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think it's that kind of expectation that you're not going to share it until 12 weeks. Like, when you do see announcements and they're before 12 weeks, like even now, like even though to be fair, I don't know what I would do, but even now when I see pregnancy announcements and I'm like, oh, it's before 12 weeks, I'm always kind of like, I'm not shocked, that's too much liking it. But there is a part of me that thinks that's brave, and I don't know why, because I disagree with the, like, you know, I do agree. I think if you want to share it sooner, like for all the reasons that you just stated, then go ahead and share it sooner. And if you want to wait until you have the kind of sign off that, yep, you're at 12 weeks and the risk of miscarriage like goes down, then that's also, like, I'm fully supportive and understanding of that. But there is just still a part of me that's a bit surprised when people do it, and I think it's just because we're still not used to seeing people do it.
For sure.
And it might just be, you know, because you don't know, they might have told, maybe I think what Matt and I perhaps would do is tell our nearest and dearest, like, whenever, whenever, like, as soon as we felt comfortable and happy to do so. But then maybe I wouldn't tell the world until we had that, like, 12 week or whatever.
This is it.
But the thing that I struggle, like, the first trimester is hard. And that's one of the times that you kind of probably want the most support, like, not just from, like, you know, your social media community or whatever, but just from the people that you actively see, like your manager at work, or, you know, your closest friends or whatever, just the people that are going to help make your life easier if you have terrible morning sickness or something. I think the expectation that you have to go through that in silence and hide it is really, really, like, archaic.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like, we told family and friends pretty much immediately. Like, you knew the day that we tested. Like, it's, you know, and I think that's the difference. And I personally can't ever imagine a world where I don't tell the people closest to me at the earliest kind of opportunity, because like you say, you know, it's rough. You need that support. I got some great support during that time. I personally didn't tell my manager until afterwards. So I was obviously in a different job, but I, for a few different reasons, had blocked everybody that I worked with on social media. And so there was no way that they would have found out from social media unless they kind of had a mutual friend or something like that. But my manager, I didn't tell until a fair bit after my 12 weeks. I think I was about 17 weeks when I told, maybe a little bit earlier, actually. I think I had another scan and then I told everyone. But I didn't like tell my manager before telling the team. It was just kind of a thing. But I can't imagine not telling my friends and family early on. Like that was so important to us. And also we were so excited that we didn't not want to share that with them. Like at the end of the day, like, it's their grandchild, their now we know nephew, like it, you know that they're going to be really excited about that, and their reactions kind of made that time sweeter and almost a bit more, this is real. Do you know what I mean?
I say, like, it makes it feel more real. It's not just something in your head.
No, this is it. And it's like, I mean, and especially I think when it is like an IVF pregnancy, or it's a pregnancy that you've struggled to conceive, and you've been open about that as well, because everybody is behind you, you would hope, and want you to succeed. And I, you know, I've got some incredible memories from telling my friends and family that I was pregnant. Like, you know, I remember telling my sister was the first person I told, and I don't know where she was. She wasn't at home anyway, but I FaceTimed her and she was hungover in bed at like 8 o'clock in the morning. We tested at 4:14 in the morning or something like that, 4:44, stupid time. And so we'd been sat there like waiting for everybody else to wake up so that we could tell someone.
And those 3 hours were long, and you were like, I've done 3 hours. Oh my God. Like, that's all I can do. I need to tell people.
Exactly. We were at Marco's dad's house at 8:45 in the morning. I think he thought somebody was dying. It was ridiculous. But yeah, I remember FaceTiming my sister and telling her that, and that's a conversation that I'll treasure forever. And I, you know, my best friend came around and I kind of told her in a roundabout, well, like, she said something about if the treatment works. That was it. I had all my blood thinners on the side, and she said, like, so how long have you got to continue taking those? And I said to her, I said, oh, well, you know, I said, if it's unsuccessful, then I stop at this date. I said, but if it's successful, then I'm continuing for the next 9 months. And I went, so it looks like I'm continuing for the next 9 months. And she just kind of went, oh, right. And then she carried on just as normal. And Marco and I were just kind of stood there like, what? What? And she looked and she went, wait, what did you just say? And I said, I'm continuing for the next 9 months. And like, she just burst into tears. And it was a really lovely moment. And it's things like that, that, you know, as beautiful as it would have been at 12 weeks, and I'm sure everybody would have reacted the exact same way, again, because people knew we were going through treatment, I think people would have figured it out for themselves if I hadn't told them it had failed. Yeah. And so I think those moments would have been slightly compromised on that basis. But most people, you know, there's a big Instagram community, there's a big social media IVF community. However, I would argue that we do not represent the majority of people that go through IVF. Like, if you think the amount of people that deal with infertility, the majority of them do not have Instagram accounts dedicated to trying to conceive. And so I think it would be very different for people who perhaps weren't being so open about their treatment and weren't kind of actively sharing it. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, like, I don't think... you don't have to share it with people that, you know, you can really pick and choose who you share it with. And it can be, if you find it, if you want to share it with someone, but not people, like real life people.
Yeah.
Find some strangers on the internet. Like,
yeah, definitely.
And just set up the conversation. Like, there's going to be like forums on, like, I don't know, Reddit or whatever. Like, just find like some sort of community, because I think, like, the anxieties are like, they're going to be there. Like, I don't think that, I mean, obviously you feel it in different intensities, but there are going to be anxieties, whether you've conceived naturally, whether it's through IVF, whether you've had loss before. Like, obviously you're going to feel things at different levels and you're going to be more aware of different things, but there are still going to be anxieties or things that find difficult. And it's just setting up a community and whatever that community looks like. But yeah, I'm glad that people are sort of fighting back a little bit against the expectation of the 12-week rule, because I do think, you know, I see the sense in doing it, but I do think it's something that should be done just if you want to.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. Just a side note there, I don't know why my camera just turned off, so I really do apologise that I've disappeared. Everything went a bit fuzzy and here we are. But yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's not black and white. And I think it's personal to everyone, isn't it? But I can't stand that there's a pressure that you shouldn't tell people. Like, I mean, I don't know what I'd do again. Like, I can't hand on heart say that I wouldn't wait 12 weeks. But I can't say that I would either. Like, I just don't think I've got it in me. Like, that's a big secret to keep. And I'm like, I can keep a secret, but it's something like that where I want to tell people and it's exciting and I'm all like, woo, like, I can't. I'd find that so dope. Like, if you think most people would test between, like, most people, I think, find out that they're pregnant, like, between the 4 and 6 week mark. If you're going through treatment, you find out very early that it's worked. And so it's like, you're looking at like at least 6 weeks of keeping that to yourself. And that's if the NHS even scan you on time. Like, if you're a little bit later, if you test at 4 weeks and then you don't have your scan until around 13 weeks, that's 9 weeks of keeping the biggest secret ever that your life is about to change on a colossal scale.
And also, it's not just that, like, I like just the practical side of it. I'm like, how personally, how on earth would I keep that secret? Not just in a case of, oh, I just cannot keep my mouth shut, but how would I hide that I don't want to drink? How would I, because I have this even with like IVF stuff, like Matt and I have kind of been saying when we do our next IVF round, we'll probably, we're going to keep the people that know really, really, really small. And once it's done, then we can tell people. But I think when we're going through it, we're going to try and just keep it as tight-knit as possible.
Yeah.
Because, not so much because we don't want people to know when we're doing IVF, but because if it works, we want to be able to surprise people. We don't want people to be like, you know, the people that mean the most to us will know that we're doing it, like, or that we'll have some level of involvement. But the people that we would kind of naturally tell very quickly, we want to be able to tell that, like, as many of those people as possible as a surprise.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that.
So, like, the people, like, I'd probably tell you that we were doing IVF because you're like my IVF support like therapist. There'd probably be like a couple of other people that we'd tell, but we're gonna keep it very hush hush.
Yeah.
But then I'm just thinking, I'm like, how would I, you know, it's all the stuff around that, like, oh god, well, I'd have to make sure that I can do my like injections and stuff without people knowing, and, you know, be off alcohol without people notice. It's all that stuff, and I'm like, god, if I'm thinking about that just for the IVF treatment, the pregnant, like, doing it for a further 12 weeks, Jesus, like,
yeah,
that, I don't understand how people manage it. But what I've seen is, like, it seems to be like the new kind of trend as well, like, as well as people going really early on when they're telling people, also just not until they're like at the third trimester. And it tends to be more like celebrities and stuff that are doing this, which I do get, because it's quite nice that they're kind of having something to themselves,
privacy, yeah,
but like they're kind of not revealing it until they're about to pop. Like, who, Stacey Solomon? She did it, and she was literally just like, within like a month.
She found out really late, though, didn't she? She
found out really, really late. But also, she was literally like, oh, by the way, I'm literally about to pop.
Yeah.
And, right now, Halle Bailey, who played the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
She's pregnant. She hasn't announced it on social media, but people have been like suspecting stuff. And anyway, there have been like paparazzi shots that have, she's like got an obvious bump, but she looks quite pregnant. Like,
yeah.
And I
just, there's an expectation to announce, isn't there? And I feel for like people in the public eye with that, because I think they shouldn't have to announce it to the whole world. Like, you can have a child quietly and
yeah, like, and it's quite a nice, it's quite that. A cool flex just being able to be like, update, I grew a baby, I had a baby, here yeah. it is.
They don't, that's my thing though. Like, I really do think people in the public eye have this pressure to kind of announce that, when actually I don't think it's anybody's business. Like, that you can keep kind of to yourself. Like, I read an article the other day about one of the Olsen twins who's literally got like an 11-year-old and nobody knew that they'd had a child. Like, they kept it really privately, and I think good for them. Like, it is nobody's business. Like, that child didn't kind of, I mean, I think this could be a whole conversation about another day, because obviously I share Joey on social media and all the rest of it, but like, that child like didn't ask to be in the limelight. On, I mean, there's a big difference between the level of exposure that I have and the fucking Olsen twins. But you know what I mean? Like, that child, it's up to them if they want to keep that child private, and good for them for doing that. But yeah, but I find that really, I don't know where I stand with this one. Like, I am very much like, you do you, like, do whatever you want. That's, you know, if you want to keep your pregnancy completely private. And I really do understand it. Like, when people have had losses, particularly like late term losses, and think like, I do understand that the anxiety. Like, I follow some people on social media who have gone through numerous cycles of IVF and had numerous losses and didn't tell anyone until the baby was here, and I completely understand that, because I think they almost don't believe it's going to happen themselves. But then I'm in obviously like a few mum groups and things like that on social media, and there's people in there that are like, they'll post anonymously and they've already got like three kids, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm 36 weeks pregnant, but I'm anonymous because we haven't announced the pregnancy. And I'm like, how do you not announce? Like, you're like a balloon. Like, how do people not? I just find that, I personally find it a bit odd when people don't do that and they haven't got a reason. Like, I understand, like, I mean, everybody's got a reason, but you know what I mean? Like, I really understand when people do it for anxiety reasons and this, that, and the other. But if somebody's had like three, obviously I don't know anything about these women, but let's just say they've had three like normal pregnancies, successful births, like everything has been textbook, gone to plan, I can never understand. I can never think of a scenario where I would not tell people I was pregnant. Like, fucking hell, I want to milk that shit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I want, like, do their children know that they've got another sibling on the way? Or are they just looking at their mum being like, she's put on some weight? Like,
I know.
What's in
but
that?
Then surely when they say they've not announced it, all they mean is they've not put it on social media for the local busybody that you went to school with.
Yeah.
Like, surely that's, like, I know that when I announced I was pregnant with Joey, I literally had a cull on my social media. Like, my Facebook, and then I have a private Instagram page. Like, I completely culled that, because there's certain things I don't want them knowing. Like, I don't post my family on my big social media and this, that, and the other. So I've just completely culled it and just thought, well, you know what? There's certain things I share here that I only want people who I've seen in the last 12 months or spoken to in the last however long to see. So I do understand it when people don't announce on social media, and I think that's quite a normal thing to do. But surely these people are actually telling someone, and they're not living like inside in a cave for 9 months and then just one day appear like Simba. Like, do you know what I mean?
I don't know. One of my friends, she never did. She's got two kids and she never did like a sort of announcement post for either of them. Like, she just found it very, she was like, I'm not interested in doing that at all. Me personally, I'm like, I want an announcement.
Oh yeah.
100%.
I want to get the biggest, fanciest, like proper, like influencer style announcement post. Yeah. And Marco was
I'm thinking like Desi Perkins when she's laying in that like bed of roses and like it's a drone camera. Like, that's my level.
Milk bath full of flowers with just your little tiny bump. There's not even a bump, just your belly button popping out.
Full photo shoot.
Matt stood there like, thumbs up.
If we haven't spent all our money on IVF, we're spending it on the announcement. No, I think it's just, it's so down to personal preference. But yeah, fuck the kind of expectation and
do what you want. But yeah. Out of curiosity, if you have, like, if you haven't had a loss and you haven't told anyone until you're about to pop, I'd be really interested to hear your reasoning as to why you did that and how you went about that. And was that just on social media, like we say, or was that like a really, I don't know, I'm just really intrigued as to the reasoning behind that. Yeah. But yeah, when did you announce? Why did you announce? Let us know. It'd be really interesting to hear your feedback on that one.
Okay, right. Should we do an Am I Overreacting?
Let's do an overreaction.
Okay, so we are going to call this person Janice. And Janice says, my friend texted me to say she was 2 weeks pregnant, knowing full well the struggles that we're having. And that's all I've got. I don't have any context or anything like that. Just her friend texted her to say that she was 2 weeks pregnant. And this friend knows that they're struggling to conceive. Amber, do you want to start or shall I?
I can go. I feel like I've my coffee's in. I'm chatting away this morning. I feel like I'm on one. So let's go. So I don't think we have enough context here really to give a full formed opinion. But from the information that I do have, I'm really sorry to say, I think you might be. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's feelings are valid. Like, whatever you feel is valid, and that's fine. However, we quite often talk in this community about the best ways to tell your friend if you're pregnant and you know that they're struggling. So I'd be intrigued to know, like, did she text you and say, like, hi, I'm just, you know, I'm texting you because of this, and I'm just letting you know that this has happened and I want you to know? Or have they just gone, here's a picture of my ultrasound surprise? But I think in this community, it is quite often spoken about that a text is the best. But generally, I think people think the best way to tell your friend if they're struggling to conceive is via text, because it gives them time to kind of react in private. You're not, you know, having to put on a happy display for someone if your immediate reaction is to want to cry. Like, it gives you that space to deal with that privately. So I think, depending on the nature of the text, actually, I think it was quite a considerate thing for your friend to do. And I also think the fact that she's told you so early, again, I was talking about like this 12-week rule, if she is choosing to not announce on social media or anything like that until a bit further on, it also kind of gives you time to really process that and to accept what she's just told you and come to terms with it yourself way before she starts showing, way before she's told everybody else and it's all your friends are talking about. Like, so actually, I think providing the text wasn't an ultrasound photo with the word surprise underneath it, providing the text, you know, was handled relatively sensitively, I actually think your friend's thinking of you and that your friend is actually trying to do a really nice thing and trying to give you some grace here and trying to kind of give you that bit of respect. I don't know. Annabelle, what are your thoughts?
I think I echo completely like everything that you said. I think another thing is you need to kind of work out, I think, and identify where your feelings are coming from in this, because you're obviously hurt and upset by it. And we all know that when you're trying to conceive, particularly if you're struggling to conceive, then your logic and everything does just fly out the window half the time. And, you know, it's highly emotional and intense situation. So I don't, you know, that's to be expected. I think what you need to do, though, is to try and identify whether you are feeling the way you are feeling because of how your friend has told you, or because you feel upset that she is pregnant. And in that case, if it is the latter and that you're upset is actually because, you know, the way you're feeling is because she is pregnant, then I think you need to kind of process that yourself and understand that, you know, that's not her fault and this is a happy time for her. And yes, it's important for her to be considerate of your feelings, but also you need to be considerate of hers in this space as well, because it is, you know, I hope a really exciting time for her and something that she is happy about. And so, yeah, I think it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, why are you upset in this? Are you hurt by the way that she's told you? Do you not like the fact it was a text? In which case, you know, I kind of refer back to Amber's point of, generally speaking, that's the guidance. Like, if she's Googled how best to tell a friend that I'm pregnant, then it's likely the answer has come up that, you know, she should text you. Or is it the fact that actually you're just really struggling with this news yourself? And in that case, you know, your feelings are completely valid, but you need to be mindful to not take them out on your friend.
Also, how do people know they're 2 weeks pregnant? 2 weeks pregnant is like when you conceive, because it goes from the date of your last period. So surely you like ovulate around the 2 weeks pregnant mark. Do you know what I mean?
Could it be
the clear view to the clear view? What's clear view?
Clear blue.
Yeah, what's clear view?
I don't know, it sounds like some kind of housing development.
It sounds like a window company, doesn't it? I've heard Clearview. I'm going to Google this. It's going to bug me. But yeah, I think also
super duper early detection thing, or maybe she's done fertility treatment. Don't know. But yeah,
I'm just intrigued by that.
I am gently suggesting that potentially you are overreacting. Not that your feelings aren't valid, but I think perhaps need to assess where your feelings are coming from.
That's it. Like, I do understand that. I've said before, a friend of mine told me that she was pregnant over the phone, and I was upset at the time that she hadn't told me to my face. But then actually, in hindsight, I kind of really understand why. Whereas one of my friends from university did text me to tell me that she was pregnant before. She did it like the day before she announced on social media. And so it was just kind of like, just a heads up, we are going to be announcing this, and I just wanted you to know. I didn't want it to take you by surprise and you feel like I've not told you. So, and I really appreciated that. Like, I think that was actually a really nice thing to do, because it gave me a little bit of time to process it before going on social media and seeing all of my friends being like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you. Like, all of that, like that hurrah that you've kind of got to engage in.
Yeah, it's super tricky. And, you know, we have spoken about it before, but like, and I think I've said in those episodes, it really depends on how I'm feeling on any given day as to how I would prefer to be told. But the really tricky thing about it is that you can't ask someone before telling them. Like, imagine if I messaged you and I was like, oh, just out of curiosity, if I was going to tell you that I'm pregnant, how would you want me to do that? And then you to reply being like, this is how I'd like you to do it. And then me literally being like, okay.
In a way, though, I kind of think that's a good way to tell someone. Like, I kind of feel like,
hypothetically speaking,
like if my friend texted me and said, hypothetically speaking, if I was to tell you I'm pregnant, how would be the best way to tell you?
Yeah.
And me reply and say, is this you telling me that you're pregnant? I kind of wouldn't be mad.
Okay, maybe this is the way to do
Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel like, okay, you're telling me while trying not to tell me. You're trying to consider my feelings. And
just
if I
reply, like, just don't tell me. And then it's like, okay, bye.
See you in 18 years. Like, I don't know. Like, I think there's everybody's relationship is so different, isn't it? Like, I feel like there's certain friends where I would be fucking furious if they didn't tell me to my face. But I think it's different now with me having had Joey to an extent. But I do think there are some friends and family members where if they hadn't, oh, I don't know, it's difficult, because then in my head I'm like, oh, but if it was my, like, I've got one specific friend in my head right now, and I'm like, if she dares to never tell me that to my face, I would kill her. But in the same breath, it's like, if it was like my sister pre-Joey, oh man, and she told me to my face, I wouldn't have been able to hold that together, because that was always a massive thing of mine, that my sister would accidentally get pregnant before I ever did. She didn't. But still, like, I don't know. It's not black and white, is it? It's really complex. Who knows? Yep. Anywho, on that note, we'll love you and leave you. I think we haven't got any other segments anymore. But yeah, it's been a pleasure. And we will see you next week for another episode of Am I Overreacting? Oh, obviously, if you do want to follow us, it's Amber Itzo and Annabelle Gurnett. Two separate accounts, not together. We don't have a joint one. Oh, yes, we do. It's Am I Overreacting? And yeah, send us an email, aioapodcast@gmail.com. Have I done everything?
I think so. I think that's it.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week for another episode where hopefully I won't be so hyped up on coffee and cake. Oh, I'm trying one of those. You know those things that you stick in your arm?
Oh, what, like the Zoe?
Yeah, it's not a Zoe. It's called something else. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. I want to call it a Lingo. But it measures your glucose levels. And because of my PCOS and things like that,
that's good. Thought, I just watched you scoff an entire slice of cake.
Shit, look at me. I'm fucking buzzing my tits off here. I've had so much sugar. But yeah, it's like you stick it in your thing and it like monitors you for a certain amount of time and like your glucose levels and what food is like spiking and this and the other, so that you have more energy, you sleep better. And basically, I feel like I bang my head against a wall every day. And I feel incredibly lethargic and all the rest of it. So I thought, you know what? Fuck it. I've got a free trial of this. I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a go and see what it's like. But the needle's fucking huge.
Well, we should be used to needles. Come on now.
Oh, Matt. Yeah, not in my arm, though. And I'm worried that, like, Joey will pull it out or something. But who knows? But maybe it's going to tell me that everything I'm eating is killing me. And actually, the reason my PCOS is off the scale. I've convinced myself I'm pregnant, Annabelle. I'm on one. I'm on it now.
Oh God,
sorry. But no, honestly, right, I haven't, since giving birth, my period has been, it came back at six, why I'm waving a bottle of Femfresh around, I don't know, but I've had too much sugar, fuck me, I'm on one. My period came back at 6 weeks and it has been like clockwork ever since. And I am now 26 days late for my period, which hasn't happened in a long time, and my sense of smell is suddenly insane again, which it was when I was at the beginning of my pregnancy. Actually, what's happening is my PCOS is going wild, but I've convinced myself I'm pregnant. So maybe this time next week, I'll either be on my period or I'll have done a pregnancy test and I'm a medical marvel and I've conceived without fallopian tubes.
Is this physically possible?
No.
Okay.
No. If they were tied, small possibility. Those bad boys are in a bin somewhere in a sewage far, far away. That's interesting, actually. I wonder where my fallopian tubes are. On that note, we'll see you next week.
Sorry. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.